Good morning, everyone. My name is Moses Almeron. The work I will be presenting today is about soybean maturity groups planting date combinations to maximize late interception in the Mid-South. This is a part of a much larger project funded by the Mid-South Soybean Board and the United Soybean Board that looks at soybean maturity groups planting dates across a wide range of latitudes in the Mid-South. The work I'll be presenting today will focus on data from Arkansas that looks at late interception. The interception of solar radiation is one of the fundamental processes governing growth and yield. Under conditions of no water and nutrient limitation, the radiation intercepted by a crop canopy can be well related to biomass and yield. Previous studies from Arkansas with a wide range of soybean maturity groups and plant populations found a very good agreement between a relative soybean yield and the amount of radiation intercepted by the crop. And the relationship indicated that in order to achieve 90% of maximum yield, about 600 megajoules per square meter will be needed. In Iowa, they found a similar relationship, but only 466 megajoules per square meter were required in order to achieve 95% of maximum yields. When we delay planting day in soybean, we have reductions in yield and seed number, and one of the main reasons for this reduction is a reduction in late interception. Studies conducted with soybean in Argentina found a very good relationship between seed number in the y-axis and the cumulative intercepted radiation from R3 to R6. And this period of seed set is crucial for seed number determination. When we use earlier planting dates, we are at risk of having shorter vegetative periods due to the effect of short photo period. With some maturity groups and row spacing combinations, we could have incomplete full canopy by the start of flowering or even by the beginning of seed field. Studies looking at row spacing found that the yield gain from switching to a narrower row spacing was often well explained by differences in light interception. So all the different management strategies combinations will likely affect the amount of radiation intercepted by a soybean crop. This is especially true in the conditions in the Mid-South, since we have a very wide planting window that can range from March to early July. Also, maturity group choices that range from maturity group 3 to 6, and common row spacings can be a narrow, wide, or twin rows on a wide bed. These are pictures from our experiments. The two pictures on the left side are two different planting dates at the same location, and the picture on the right side are different maturity groups planted on the same planting date. So the objective we have for this work was to study the relationship between CIPAR and yield across a range of planting dates and maturity groups in the Mid-South for a narrow and a twin row spacing. And second, to determine best managed strategies looking at the interceptor radiation from a simulation study. The experiments were conducted during 2012 and 2013 in three locations in Arkansas. We have four planting dates at two of the locations ranging from March to July, and one planting date at the location in Fayetteville in early June. Maturity groups range from 3 to 6 with a total of 16 soybean cultivars. We had a constant a relatively high planting density, and row spacing depended on the year and location and included a narrow and a twin row spacing. All locations were irrigated. Late interception was estimated with digital images taken from above the canopy, and previous research using this methodology has found a group agreement between canopy coverage estimated with this approach and late interception. For the simulation study, we chose two of the locations in Arkansas. Fayetteville has relatively cooler temperatures compared to Rower, and we used 30 years of weather data, maturity groups from maturity group 3, 4, 5, and 6, planting days from early March to late July in weekly intervals, and the two row spacings, the narrow and a wider twin row spacing. The first step was to estimate soybean developmental stages, and we used the Lisacron model. Previous to using the model, we evaluated its performance with the 2 years of data and the three locations, and it gave a very good agreement to predict the main developmental stages in soybean. Second, we estimated light interception as a function of thermal time by using equations that we obtain experimentally and that I will show in the next slide. And third, we will look at the fraction of light interception that we have reached by flowering, beginning seed field, and also the total amount of radiation intercepted for each of the scenarios. These are the results for the fraction of light interception as a function of cumulative thermal time. The upper graph shows results for the narrow row spacing that combines all locations and years with this row spacing and also across planting dates and maturity groups. And the bottom graphs shows the same relationship but for the data compiled for a twin row spacing. And we found the log transformation of the fraction of light interception gave a good fit to our data in order to do a linear regression analysis. So an analysis of covariance with row spacing as the main factor indicated that the slope of the regressions was significant, so that with a narrow row spacing we have a significantly fastest increase in light interception as a function of thermal time, as we would expect. Results from our experiments, where we looked at the cumulative intercepted radiation and its relationship with relative yield. Yield was relative to the maximum maturity group per year and location. And this is data from 2012. And in the curve is the fit obtained previously in Arkansas and is shown here as a reference. And we can see that during this year, the amount of interception of radiation intercepted by the crop was close to the asymptote or already in the asymptote part of the relationship. In 2013, the intercepted radiation was lower in general, and we do see an increase of yield with increasing amounts of radiation intercepted. When compiling data from the 2 years and the symbols separate planting dates before June 9 and planting dates after June 9, we can see that with the planting dates before June 9, radiation is greater than with later planting dates, and we even have a tendency for yield decrease as we increase radiation interception. With planting dates before June 9, we have an increase in yield with increasing amounts of radiation intercepted, which suggests that with delay in planting dates, light becomes more limiting in our conditions. And again, the fit obtained previously in Arkansas can give a reasonable fit to our data, and the 600 megajoules per square meter seems reasonable to obtain 90% of maximum yield. However, we do see a decrease in yield with higher amounts of radiation, and this could be due to a lower harvest index in those treatments and an increase in lodging. Some of the treatments in the right side of the graph correspond to late maturity groups early planted that had a high amount of vegetative biomass. But there's other reasons why we might not want to intercept such high amounts of radiation, and one is an increase in irrigation needs or an unnecessary long growing season. And in this slide, I start showing results from a simulation study. This is the fraction of light interception that we will have reached by the start of flowering. And the upper graph shows results for a narrow row spacing and the bottom for a twin row spacing. The different patterns show results for a maturity group 3 in the bottom, 4, 5, and 6 at the top. So for a narrow row spacing, only maturity groups 5 and 6 will be able to reach full canopy by the time of flowering. And with a twin row spacing, none of the maturity groups and planting days will reach full canopy by this time. Some authors have found that a full canopy by the time of flowering can be crucial in order to obtain maximum yields. The light interception by the time of seed fill can be more detrimental for yields, since it's known that vegetative growth will stop around this time. And for the narrow row spacing in our environment, all the maturity groups and planting days were able to reach full canopy. On the other hand, with a twin row spacing, the maturity group 3, when early planted, did not reach full canopy. And also, as we delay planting date, we have a higher risk of not completing full canopy before the beginning of seed fill. In this slide, I show the total amount of intercepted radiation estimated with the light interception and the incident part each day accumulated over the growing season. And we can see that with the earlier planting days, we have a higher amount of intercepted radiation and that it decreases as we delay planting date. Also, the later maturity groups have a greater amount of radiation intercepted compared to earlier maturity groups due to the longer growing season. However, this higher amount of radiation did not always translate to higher yields, as we saw from our experimental data. For the narrow row spacing in the top graph, we require slightly earlier maturity groups compared to a twin row in order to achieve the same amount of light. The graph on the right shows results from Fayetteville, that is a relatively cooler location, and I will just point out some of the differences. For an early planting date, the crop died if it was not a successful planting date. And also, as we delay planting date, the late maturity groups reached physiological maturity, were not able to reach physiological maturity due to frost. So we have a narrower planting window in Fayetteville, and also later maturity groups at the end with later plantings are not able to achieve as much light because they had a higher risk of frost before reaching physiological maturity. If we want to look at what is the maturity group that will reach an optimum or sufficient amount of light for each planting date, location, and row spacing, in this graph we have a summary for the results for rower, where a soybean maturity group were indicating the Y, a soybean maturity group that will reach 600 megajoules per square meter for each twin row spacing and for any planting date. And the right on the graph on the right side compiles a summary of results for the Fayetteville location that has a narrower planting window. The conclusions for this study are that a CPAR close to 600 might ensure optimum yields. CPAR can be limiting, especially in late planting dates in our environments. Narrow row spacings can reach full canopy by the time of beginning seed fill for all our planting dates and maturity group combinations. However, with a twin row spacing and early maturity groups early planted, we are at risk of not reaching full canopy and also as we delay planting date. The simulation study allowed to study management strategies to obtain CPAR that will allow to obtain maximum yields. However, this relationship between CPAR and yield needs to be better studied across a range of planting dates and locations in the Mid-South. Thank you for your attention. Do we have time for questions?
Yeah.
The question was, what was the row spacing? I'll just show you here. So the narrow row spacing was from 46 to 48, depending on the location. But, and the twin was a 19 centimeters twin row on a 97 centimeters depth. Excuse me?
Yeah, say looking down a furrow between two sets of twin rows, you actually got closure between that wide of a spacing, no?
I'm not sure I understand that. The question is if we reach full canopy in those row spacings?
Were you looking between inside the furrow?
We look for the complete full canopy considering the twins and the complete bed. So we take a picture of two complete rows, or twin rows. The question is, what are the implications for weed management? And this is a very good question, so this has important implications for weed management. And if one way to use this information is to look what combinations will reach full canopy sooner, and that might reduce weed competition.
Okay.
Thank you.